Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to start my time with Rabbi Shmuel. 2, 4, 6, 7 lines at the top. Okay, the story that we were learning last week is the Mishnah was mentioning that for people that get Kodis, you get Malkus. That means if Hashem kills you, you still get whipped beforehand. So the Mishnah enumerated many cases of Kodis or various different Avedis that you get Malkus for. So then the Gemara started explaining that it doesn't say if Bezdin kills you, you get Malkus. Only when Hashem kills you do you get lashes. So therefore we have to say the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara brought down a Braisa that says there's three opinions. According to Rabbi Shmuel, whether you get Kodis or whether Bezdin kills you, the din is you get Malkus. That means that whether earth court punishes, kills you, or Hashem kills you, you always get Malkus. Rabbi Kiva said, no. If you get Kodis, Bezdin, you get Malkus. If you don't get Kodis, if Bezdin kills you, you don't get Malkus. Rabbi Yitzchok said, you don't get ever Malkus. That's it. If courts kill you or God kills you, you don't get Malkus. So there's three different opinions. You have it in your Gemara there? 26. 7 lines in the top. 8 lines in the top. So the Gemara asks, my time with Rabbi Shmuel. Now the Gemara is going to explain the logic of the argument, why each one holds what they hold. Rabbi Shmuel holds that you get Malkus for both. So Gemara says, what's the reason of Rabbi Shmuel? So he says, because it says in the Pasuk, if you won't be diligent, meaning you're not going to be careful to keep, as called as I saw the words of the Torah. So the Pasuk starts off by saying, if you don't keep Torah, and right afterwards the Pasuk says, Hashem's going to make your punishments outstanding, meaning he's really going to give it to you. And but I don't know what the word vihifla means. All it says is, vihifla, God is going to make your punishment vihifla, outstanding. But what does that mean? So the Gemara says, but we have another pasuk that says, it says in the pasuk by Malkus, the judge is going to hit him down, which means Malkus, and he's going to hit you. Have a emes. So we see haflazul. That what does vihifla mean? What does it mean? It means Malkus. Uksiv in the pasuk says imleisish melasis es kol divrei ha-teira. If you don't keep any mitzvahs of the Torah, you're going to get whipped. So what does Rabbi Shmuel say according to the Gemara? The Gemara is very simple. There's a pasuk that says, if you don't keep Torah, God is going to whack you. And it says, if you don't keep any of the mitzvahs. So what do you see from there? Rabbi Shmuel learns from that pasuk that whether courts kill you or Hashem kills you, you transgress the Torah, bottom line is, you're going to get whipped. That's what Rabbi Shmuel holds. If courts kill you or if Hashem kills you, you get punished first with Malkus. But now the Gemara says, if that's the case, hihachi, if that's the case that the pasuk says, that any time you transgress Torah, you're going to get whipped, so chai ve'esenami, even if you transgress the positive commandment. Meaning as follows, we know as a rule, you don't get punished for positive mitzvahs. The marshal, there's a positive mitzvah you have to put on tefillin. If you don't, there's no punishment. If the Torah says, you have to do lulav and esrig, you don't do lulav and esrig, there's no punishment. But the Gemara is asking now, you just quoted a pasuk that says that if you don't keep mitzvahs, you're going to get whipped. That's called not keeping mitzvahs. Right? And if you're not keeping mitzvahs, you should get whipped. So why for positive mitzvahs don't you get whipped? So the Gemara answers, because in the pasuk it says, imlei sishma ksiv, if you will not Sishma, you won't keep the mitzvahs. And what does keep mean? V'amer Rababu, K'rababin Amir Rabbi Loi, the K'rababin said in the name of Rabbi Loi, The Amir Ababin Ba Amir Abiloi Kol Mokim Shenema. Anytime it says in the Chumash, he shomer or pen or va'al, anytime it says these three words, Eina Ela Leisase, it's only referring to a negative mitzvah. And by Malkus, the Torah says, Im Leisishmer, if you won't watch mitzvahs, and watching refers to negative commandments. So therefore, the Gemara learns that you only get whipped if you transgress a negative commandment, not if you don't do a positive commandment. So the Gemara again asks, Ihochi, if that's the case though, for any Aveda, meaning any negative mitzvah, you'd get whipped. Lav shame by my tsunami. So why is it that if a lav has no action, meaning if you transgress a negative commandment but you don't do an action? So we know the rule, as we learned before in the Gemara, you don't get whipped. Meaning, if somebody actively eats chazer, you get whipped. If somebody transgresses a negative commandment by not doing anything, you don't get whipped. I'll give you an example, which we learned already in a while ago. And Pesach in Alat on Chometz. Torah says you're not allowed to own chametz, right? The halacha is that if you have chametz in your house, you don't get whipped because you didn't do anything. If you went on Pesach and bought chametz, where you actively did something, then you're going to get whipped. But if you didn't do anything, you're not going to get whipped. So the Gemara asks, but if you're quoting a pasuk that says that any time you don't keep a mitzvah, regardless, you're going to get whipped. So why is it that a negative mitzvah that doesn't have an action, you don't get whipped for? You should get whipped. The pasuk says, you don't keep mitzvahs, you get whipped. So the Gemara answers, but it says in the pasuk, la sisksiv. It says, if you won't keep the Torah to do. So what does the Gemara learn from there? That the only time you get punished for an aveda is if you did something. But if you didn't do something, you don't get whipped. So then the Gemara asks a different question. Lav shenitik la'asei nami. But sometimes you can actively transgress a negative commandment and you still don't get whipped. When? If it's connected to a positive mitzvah. And this, remember, we learned a few weeks ago. Well, before Yom Tov. The Torah says like this. Don't steal. Return the stolen object that you took. So stealing is a negative commandment that you did an action, you stole, but you don't get whipped because you can rectify the negative aveda by doing a mitzvah of returning what you stole. The Torah says, don't take the mother bird with the kids. I mean, don't take the kids when the mother bird is there. Send away the mother bird. So as long as you're able to rectify the lav, as long as you're able to rectify the negative commandment, you don't get whipped. So the Gemara is asking a question, according to your pasuk, that the pasuk says any negative commandment that you do an action, you get whipped. Why a lav that's connected to a positive mitzvah that could be rectified by fulfilling a positive mitzvah, why over there don't you get malchus?
So, for example, the only reason you would get whipped for eating chazer is because you can't rectify it, right?
Right. And you did an action. In other words, as a rule, when you transgress a negative commandment, you get malchus. Okay? Now, what are the exceptions to the rule? If it's a negative commandment that there's no action involved, you passively transgressed, you didn't actively transgress, you don't get malchus. Another case is, if you did a negative commandment, you transgressed a negative commandment that could be rectified by following it up by fulfilling a positive mitzvah. The Torah says don't steal. So if somebody steals, they don't get whipped. Why? Because they can give back what they stole. If you give back what you stole, you rectified the lav, you don't get malchus. But the Gemara is asking, if you're telling me a pasuk that says every aveda you do, you get malchus. So why don't you get malchus if it could be rectified by a positive mitzvah? You should still get whipped. So the Gemara answers, Dumya de lav de chasima. And this is an interesting concept. When the Torah speaks originally about getting whipped, The first negative commandment following that is Lisachsim Sher Bedishay. You're not allowed to muzzle an ox when it's working in a field. The Torah is into the animal, right? You should learn from Torah. The Torah is very much into cruelty of animals. That you're not allowed to. So the Torah says, when you have an ox plowing your field, so many times it would muzzle the mouth of the ox that he shouldn't eat the stuff he's working on. So the Torah says you're not allowed to do that. Now, that is the first pasuk after the Torah says the concept of whipping. So the Torah says, for negative commandments you get whipped, and then the first example of it is not to muzzle an ox when it's working in a field. So the Gemara learns the fact that the Torah puts that negative commandment right after the concept of Malchus shows that every sin, in order to get whipped, it has to be similar to the sin of muzzling a sheir. Number one, there's an action involved, you muzzled. Number two, there's no way of rectifying it. Because even if you take off the muzzle, it's too late already. That part that you plowed is already a sin, you can't take it back. So therefore, the Gemara answers as follows. Your question is a good question, the Gemara says. You're asking me, why don't you get Malchus if a lav is rectified by a positive mitzvah? So Gemara says, very simple. Because that type of lav is not similar to not muzzling a nox. And the only type of avedus you get Malchus for is avedus which are similar to the lav of not muzzling a cow, an ox or whatever. It doesn't matter which animal. So therefore the Gemara says, that's why you don't get Malchus for that. So the Gemara says, the truth is now, Hashas da'as is lahachi. Now that you answered them, this answer, all your previous answers, we don't need to answer anymore. All we have to say, the Gemara's question was, why don't you get Malchus for a lav that does no action? So the Gemara can say, very simple, because it's not similar to not muzzling. Not muzzling is an action. Why don't you get whipped for positive mitzvahs? Because leisachsim sher bedish is a negative mitzvah, that you can't muzzle an animal. So, yeah. Yeah. There's no sin that can make you crazy. If I make your life miserable, yeah, I'm not punishable. I'm lacking avos yisrael. It's not decency. It's not moral. It's not menschlich. It's not nice. Bottom line is, if I make your life miserable, I don't get punished for it.
Upstairs you would.
Upstairs you would. Yeah, we're talking about the getting Malchus. If I keep calling your house, and when you hang up the phone, when you pick up the phone, I hang it up. Okay? And this can go on. I'll give you a sec. Telemarketers don't get punished. Tell them, I understand that. I'm talking about in Torah law, telemarketers don't get punished. Why? What aveda did they do? Not making you crazy? There's no such negative commandment in the Torah. You can't bug a person to death.
It's legal business.
Yeah. You don't get a love because there's no punishment. I'm not saying you're allowed to do it. You know, if I don't love you, okay, I don't get punished for it. I explained already. I remember if it was last week or a previous time. You can't get punished for something you don't do. I mean, there's a logic also. Punishment is for the impurity that I got upon myself by sinning. Okay? That is cleansed by punishment. We learned already in the past, punishment in Torah is a cleansing process. It's not a damnation. It's not a suffering process. It's simple, a cleaning. It's a scouring, cleaning process. Okay? If I do something, became impure. So for that, I have to be cleansed. What's the cleansing of punishment? If I didn't do anything, what did I do? I didn't bring impurity by myself because I didn't do anything. That's why with the exception of two that we're soon going to learn about in the Gemara, circumcision and Korban Pesach, there's no punishment for positive mitzvahs. If you don't put on tefillin, you don't get punished. There's no punishment in the court that you're going to get whipped for not putting on tefillin. If somebody doesn't do a positive mitzvah, there's no, you don't punish tefillin if you don't get punished. You're not connected to God like you could be. But as far as impurity, spiritual dirt that has to be cleansed, that you don't get to if you didn't do an action. So granted, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk, because otherwise I wouldn't know that. I would think you did an aveda, no matter what the aveda is, you get punished. So Gemara says, no, we learn it out from, again, like we said, leisachsim shebedishe, that you can't muzzle an animal. The fact that the Torah puts that as the first sin following the concept of getting whipped, of lashes. So we learn from there that all avedas that you get whipped for have to be similar to not muzzling a cow. Which means, number one, it has to be a negative mitzvah, not a positive mitzvah. Number two, it has to be an action. And number three, it's not a sin that could be rectified by a positive mitzvah. What?
Right, this is just a question on the something that says in, or something that I read inside one of the halacha books. It says that if a person doesn't want to feel it, they're sinning with their body or something like that. What is that?
Yeah, scholar. The Gemara says, the Gemara says, if you don't put on tefillin, you're called Peshe Yisrael Begufay. You're called a rebellious Jew with your body. Because tefillin is a mitzvah for your body. Your body has to put on tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin, by the way, is not putting on tefillin. It has to be on your body. There's a very famous question that the Rishonim ask. The Gemara in Kedushin says a rule, and this is a universal rule, Shliach shel adam kameisei. A shliach of somebody, an agent, a proxy, whatever you want to call it, has the din like the guy himself. Technically, a man, can make a shliach to give a ring to a woman to do Kedushin for him. A guy doesn't even have to be at his own chuppah. He could send a shliach to do it. If he doesn't like his colleague, he could send a shliach to do it. No. What do you think? Eliezer, Avram sent Eliezer, yeah? He was a shliach to do Kedushin. When he gave Rivka the ring, that was the Kedushin for Yitzchak. Yeah? So technically, there's a rule in the Torah, if I send you to do something for me, it's like I did it. Right? That's shliach shom kameisa, that's what it means. So the Tesis read, Rishonim ask a very simple question. So why can't I make a shliach to put tefillin on for me? Why can't I say to you, Rabbi Mordechai, do me a favor, put tefillin on for me, you're my shliach. If you're instead of me, so why can't I make a shliach to put on tefillin? It's a good question. What's the answer? The answer is very simple. It's very unique. When I send you as a shliach to do something for me, your action is considered as if I did the action. That's what the concept of a shliach is. When I make you as an agent, it's like I did it. Right? Now, if I make you a shliach to put on tefillin for me, granted, it's like I put on tefillin. Right? But in whose body? It's not my body. So it's like I put tefillin on your body.
My body, right.
So I can't do the mitzvah tefillin on your body.
Right.
So over there, the concept of shliach doesn't make sense, because the concept of shliach is your actions like I did it. So good. I told you to put on tefillin for me. It's like a very simple act. If I make you a shliach to eat for me, yeah? So you eat for me. Yeah? You eat. Okay, so it's considered I ate. But who's going to be full? You or me? I'm not going to be full if you eat for me. So by tefillin, there's a mitzvah of doing with your body. Okay, if I go on Miftzoim and put tefillin on with another Jew, as Chabadniks do, not some other groups, but what? No, I'm saying going up, put tefillin on with people. The Chabadniks do, others don't. Yeah. Anyway.
I know that.
Okay, good. So I didn't get the mitzvah of tefillin. If I put tefillin on with you, let's say you're a Jew that's not religious, I put tefillin on with you, yeah? I still have to put on tefillin. So if you don't put on tefillin, you're called sinning with your body because your body is not doing the mitzvah. But you don't get whipped for it. You didn't get impurity upon yourself because you didn't do anything wrong. You just didn't do what's right. Uh-huh. There's only two positivism. The Gemara is going to bring it down. That's what I'm mentioning now. It's going to be easier. The Gemara says there's two mitzvahs, positive mitzvahs that you do get punished for. A person that doesn't do a bris, so the punishment is kares. God makes you die early. Or if you intentionally don't bring a carbon Pesach, the Torah says, if you're able to bring a carbon Pesach and you don't, then you also get kares. But those are the only two positive mitzvahs in the world. If you don't hear Shefer, you don't do Lulav, you don't put on tefillin, you don't say Shema, you don't daven, there's no punishment. What?
But technically, a bris, you could make it up, couldn't you? I mean, you could do it later on in life. I mean, let's say a person didn't know anything about bris, he could make it up later on in life, or let's say the father didn't do it.
Yeah, later. But what happens if a guy doesn't want to do it? So then he's punishable by kares.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anyway, so this is the way the Gemara explained Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said that whether Beis Din kills you, whether God kills you, bottom line is you get whipped. So the Gemara says, why? Because they quoted a pasuk that says, if you don't keep mitzvahs, you get whipped. Okay? Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva, my time. Why does Rabbi Kiva hold that when Beis Din kills you, there is no Malkus? Only when God kills you, meaning Hashem makes you die early, then you get Malkus. What's the difference? See, he says very simple, because by Malkus it says, Kedeiru ish osay. The Torah says, by getting lashes, you get lashes for your wickedness. But rishosay is singular. Okay, which means, Mishum risha achas ata mechayve, you can punish a sinner for one wickedness. You can't punish him for one crime with two punishments. Meaning, there's one punishment per crime. So Rabbi Kiva says, if Beis Din is going to kill you, and you're going to get lashes also, you're getting double jeopardy, double punishment for one crime. And the Torah says you can only get one punishment per crime. So Rabbi Kiva says, if Beis Din kills you, how could you get whipped? Beis Din's got, how many punishments do you get for the same crime? Huh? No, they whip you first. Because you know how to whip dead people. So now the Gemara asks, so how does Rabbi Shmuel hold that if courts kill you, you get both punishments? Rabbi Shmuel held that if courts kill you, you get Malkus and capital punishment. So the question is, how does Rabbi Shmuel hold you get double punishment for one crime? So he says, no. That rule of one punishment per crime is only Misa Umamin, if there's capital punishment and payment of money, or Malkus of Umamin, or lashes and monetary penalty. Then you only get one. Avol Misa or Malkus, Rabbi Shmuel says an interesting statement. Malkus and death is the same punishment. It's like one long death. First they whip you, and then they kill you. So it's like one long death. So Rabbi Shmuel holds, there's no problem getting whipped and death by court. Why? It's not two punishments, it's one punishment. What is the Torah excluding? What is the Torah excluding? When there's a punishment of money and death. Or money and lashes, then the Torah says, if you get lashes, you don't pay money. If you get killed, you don't pay money. For instance, if somebody desecrates Shabbos by ripping somebody's garment apart, that's the way they desecrate Shabbos. The din is you get killed for desecrating Shabbos, you don't have to pay for the garment. If somebody, God forbid, burns somebody, it's So they committed murder. Yeah? So they get capital punishment. They don't have to pay the estate the garments he's wearing. What does one thing have to do with the next? Death he got for murder, but meanwhile you ruined the guy's garments or whatever. Torah says you don't do double. But Rabbi Shmuel says, Malchus and death, that's one long punishment of death. So therefore, that the Torah doesn't exclude.
So he would get both Malchus and death?
According to Rabbi Shmuel, you would get Malchus and death. Rabbi Kiva says no. That's called two separate punishments. If you get Malchus, you can't get death. And because you have to get the worst of the two. So Rabbi Kiva says, when Bezdin kills you, you're not going to get Malchus. There's a rule in Torah, it's called Kimle B'drabamine. If somebody did an Aveda, they get double punishment. Death and lashes. The din is, you get the worst of the two. You can't get both. That's why the Marshal, there's a din, the Mishnah Sanhedrin is really an argument. The Mishnah Sanhedrin says, there's four types of death according to Torah law. There's Skila, Sreifa, Hereg, and Chenek. Skila is stoning, which doesn't mean stoning. Sreif is burning, which doesn't mean burning. Hereg means a sword, that means a sword. And Chanek is choking, but not the... they don't go like that. which one of the... What happens if a guy did an Aveda that gets Skila and Sreifa? He did one doozer that is the double punishment of Skila and Sreifa together. So the din is, you only get the harder death punishment of the two also. Obviously, you can't get killed twice. But you, which one do you get? You get the more severe one. Which, according to Allah, is skila.
Severe in terms of how much pain you have to
do? It's not necessarily a question of pain. I don't know why they each one says what they said. There's two opinions of skila. The way we hold is skila, sreif, hereg, and chanek. Skila basically is not stoning. Skila is they throw you off a two-story building, designated building. And then, if the guy died, they put a stone on his head. And if they didn't, then they throw stones at him. But skila is not a guy stand in front of a stoning squad. That's not what it means. Sreifa is not that they put you into a fire. Sreifa is, they make you drink hot lead. That the second it goes down, you're dead. And hereg is they chop off your head with a sword. And chenek is they also, you put your body into fertilizer like, and then they two guys with a rope around your neck, and they each guy pulls, and that's it. But that's, by the way, no, they're the most, from all the deaths, by the way, these are the most humane types of death, by the way. Least punishment. What?
Was there a story somewhere in the Gemara there was a person who gave himself a type of death where it involved all four types of death?
All four. There's possible to have all four, but not.
Someone gave himself and he killed himself all at once. Or something.
I don't remember.
Like
I don't remember. Okay, now the Gemara asks a question. Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbi Kiva said as follows: if Bezdin kills you, you don't get Malchus because you can only get one punishment, not two, right? But now the question is: Rabbi Kiva said that if you get Kodis, if Hashem kills you, then you do get Malchus. So the question is, why isn't that double punishment? Because you can get Malchus and then you can get Kodis. Why isn't that double punishment for the same crime? So the Gemara says, my Amit, what do you want to answer? She'im also tshuva, maybe the guy will do tshuva, and then he won't get Kodis, right? But up to now he still didn't do tshuva. So he's still liable for Kares. So it's possible a guy, according to Rabbi Kiva, can have a double punishment. Malchus and Kares. So Gemara answers, Amar Rababu, Rababu says, you're right, but. You're right that as a rule, it's one punishment per sin. But by Kares, there's a pasuk that clearly teaches us you get Malchus and Kares. So you're right, basically the rule is you can only get one punishment per crime. But by Kodesh and Malchus, there's a pasuk, the Gemara is going to say, that teaches us you get double. What's the pasuk? The Gemara, because we learn out, le'enei, le'enei. I'm sorry, we learned out the word le'enai from le'enecha. Meaning, by kodesh it says le'enai in the eyes of the community. And by malchus it says le'enecha. Now if you take the first four letters, they're the same in both words. Enai, enecha. Right? Enai and enai is the same word. So therefore, the fact that by malchus and kodesh is the same word, it teaches us that you can get kodesh and malchus together. Even though normally you can't get two punishments for the same crime. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, maskol rababa mamamul. So rababa mamamul says, yohi, if so, chayvimis is bezdin nami nigrim. Then even if bezdin kills you, we should also learn it out the same way. Why? Because by capital punishment, it says me'enei, and here it says le'enecha. So the Gemara answers, you could learn out le'enei from le'enecha, but you can't learn out me'enei from le'enecha. Meaning as follows. The concept of a gzeira shava is very strange. The concept of, we say it before davening every day, Rabbi Shmuel Eimer, Shemidich, one of them is Kavachim, Gzeira Shava. Gzeira Shava means, here it says a word, and there it says a word, so because here's a word and there's a word, it's the same word, the same din. Now obviously, nobody can come and make this up on their own. You can't say, well here it says Moshe, and there it says Maisha, so therefore everything is the same din. I mean, or here it says Bnei Yisrael, and there it says Bnei Yisrael, you know, or by Shabbos it says Bnei Yisrael, and by Sukkah it says Bnei Yisrael. Are you going to tell me that means every Jew has to eat Shabbos in the Sukkah? I mean, it doesn't work like that. How does it work? Hashem told Maisha Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, this Gzeira Shava you learn, this Gzeira Shava you learn, this Gzeira Shava you don't learn. In other words, Gzeira Shava, as the Gemara says, the rule, you can't make up your own Gzeira Shava. God made it up, period. When God made it up, he made it up that the words have to be identical. If you have a word, Einei, and then you have the word, Einecha, the first four letters are identical of both words. So the Gemara says, that Gzeira Shava you could have. Because the first four word letters are identical. But the Gemara's question is, let's learn out Me'enecha or Tu'enecha. That's not similar. Or I'm sorry, Me'ene Tu'enecha. So it's a different, four letters also are different. So therefore you can't learn it out. So therefore the Gemara is answering as follows. By Kodis, Rabbi Kiva holds you get Malchus, because there's a Gzeira Shava that says you get Malchus by Kodis, even though normally you only get one punishment per crime. Okay? So the Gemara says, if so, why didn't you learn that Gzeira Shava by Bezdin killing you also that you can get two punishments? So the Gemara says, because it's a different word. And you can't learn that just because it's a different word. But now the Gemara is going to ask a question on that. Because the Gemara is going to show that we learn a Gzeira Shava that not only is it not the same word, all it is the same idea. And yet there's a Gzeira Shava. So you see that a Gzeira Shava doesn't have to be exact. Until now the Gemara is saying a statement, Gzeira Shava has to be exact. You want to learn out one word from another word, it has to be the exact letters. But the Gemara is going to ask, I will show you there's a Gzeira Shava that the words are not even the same words. One is coming and one is going. And yet there's a Gzeira Shava between them. The Gemara says, "V'may nafkamine, what difference does it make? If the words are not identical, you could still learn a Gzeira Shava. Why? V'atan edvei Rabbi Shmuel, the yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel learned. It says in the Tatum, V'shava kayin, the kayin will return to the house. Ubo HaKein and the Kein will come to the house. There's over here, there's as follows. In Chumash, it discusses what happens if there's leprosy. So there's leprosy on the house, there's leprosy on clothing, there's leprosy on the body. So the Gemara says, if a guy has leprosy in the house, So it means the spots, not mold, spots in the house. So you have to go to the kohen. Then the kohen comes to the house. Sometimes the kohen will say right away, Tomei, the house is impure. Sometimes the kohen will say right away, the house is no problem. And sometimes the kohen says, we got to lock up the house for a week and come back and check it out. Depending what the kohen sees. So one pasuk says, Vishava kohen, the kohen returns. Another one says, Uba kohen, the kohen will come. Zui shiva, v'zui bia. One is returning and one is coming. Right? And yet, there's a gzeira shava. Yet the Gemara learns, coming from going, the Jussik, the Torah says certain laws by the coming, so the same thing is by the going. So you see, the Gemara is asking, that the concept of a gzeira shava could be, even if there's no similarity of the words at all. So why do the words have to be identical? So the Gemara answers, V'aydan, another question. Ligmar me'ene mile'ene. The Gemara says, just like you can learn ene from ene, do gomer le'ene mile'enecha. In other words, the Gemara says, you could learn from two words that are identical in the endings. Ene. Okay, one says le'ene, one says me'ene. So, but the last four letters are identical. So why can't you learn that identical gzeir shavit too? So the Gemara says, Kibla minei Rab Shmuel ben HaTzadik, Rabbi Yitzchok. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yitzchok accepted this refutation, and therefore he says, there's a different explanation. This is basically trying to answer the original question of the Gemara. If Rabbi Kiva holds that you can't get punished, two punishments for one crime, and that's why Rabbi Kiva holds that if Bezdin kills you, there is no Malkus because you can't get double punishment. So the Gemara says, why by Kodis do you get Malkus and Kodis? Why isn't that two punishments? So he says as follows. The Pasuk says, where do we learn it out from? Like we said before, Kedei Rishosei, because of his wickedness. Meaning, Mishum Risha Achasat Mechaivei, you can give him one crime, one punishment per crime. He can't punish him twice for the same crime. What punishment are we talking about? Berisha amesura lebezdin. It's only by a punishment administered by courts, not by God. Meaning as follows, and this is, Rashi explains it very simply. Two different courts can give you two different punishments. The same court can punish you twice. Meaning, if the earthly court is killing you, and the earthly court is giving you Malkus, the same court is punishing you twice for the same crime. By Kodis, that God is punishing you, and Malkus, the court, is punishing you. That's different. That's allowed. In other words, the Gemara is learning now that you can't get two punishments for the same crime from the same court. So if the earthly court is going to kill you, the earthly court can't whip you because the same court is giving you double punishment. But in the case where there's Karis, where Hashem kills you, and Malkus, the court kills you, whips you, that's not a problem.
So it's not talking about, when it says death, it's not talking about court-imposed death. It's talking about...
Well, that depends. Rabbi Kiva holds that if the court kills you, you can't get Malkus.
Right.
Because the same court is punishing you twice, and that can't be. If Hashem kills you, and the courts whip you, that's fine.
That's fine.
Because that's two different courts. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Rava explains it differently. And Rava explains the argument between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel differently. Up to now we explained, what's the argument? Rabbi Shmuel says, whether court kills you or Beis Din kills you, you get Malkus. Right? And he learns it out from a pasuk. Rabbi Kiva holds, no, you can only get punished once, not twice. So according to Rabbi Kiva, if the courts punish you, death, you can't get Malkus. If God punishes you, you can get Malkus. That's what the Gemara said until now. But now there's a whole different story. And Rava answers a different answer. And let me just give an introduction to this Gemara with the halach of it. When you warn a guy for a crime, because without warning, you don't get punished. Okay? The earthly court doesn't punish you if you weren't warned. Why? Because the earthly court doesn't know if you knew it was forbidden or not. Maybe you didn't know. And if you didn't know, you're not going to get punished. Okay? In order for the earthly court to punish you, as the Gemara says, the reason of Asra, the reason for warning the person, is that he should know that he's doing it intentionally wrong. And if you do it intentionally wrong, you get punished. The din is, when you warn somebody, let's say somebody's about to desecrate Shabbos, you have to warn him that he's not allowed to desecrate Shabbos, and you have to tell him what the punishment is. It's not enough to tell a guy you're not allowed to desecrate Shabbos. You have to tell him you're not allowed to desecrate Shabbos and the punishment is stoning. Okay? Now, what happens, and Rav is learning a whole new explanation of the Gemara. Rav is, it's very simple though. Rav is saying as follows. In a case where they warn the guy, if you do your sin, you're going to get capital punishment. Everybody says he's not going to get punished, whipped. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel will say he's not going to get whipped because they only warned him for death. They said, don't do it, and if you do it, you're going to get killed. They never told him you're going to get whipped. So if he didn't know the punishment of whipping, he can't whip him. What happens though, if they warned him for punishment of Malkus, but they didn't warn him about death? Meaning, a guy was about to desecrate Shabbos, and two witnesses came over to him. What they should have said is, you're going to get killed. Okay, or you're going to get whipped and killed. They didn't say that. A guy was about to desecrate Shabbos, and they said to him, hey, guy, you're not allowed to do it, and if you do it, you're going to get whipped. Now, can the guy get killed? No, because he wasn't warned. He wasn't warned that he's going to get killed. So, death he's not going to get, because he wasn't warned for death. Now the question is, can he get whipped? Because whipping is not really the punishment for the crime. The real punishment for the crime is death. The problem is, the guy was never warned for death. He was warned to get Malkus. So then the question is, what's he going to get? Okay, so now the Gemara answers as follows. What's the argument between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel? Rav is learning a completely different argument. Up to now we learned, when Beis Din kills you, do you get whipped or not? Rabbi Kiva says no, Rabbi Shmuel says yes. He says no. If you're going to get both, and they warned you for death, everybody says you're not going to get both. Because they warned you for death. He says this, Nasina says, Rav Amar, Rav says as follows, Asbir le l'ktola, if they warn the guy that he's going to get killed, Kulam le pligadei naiko mes. Everybody says he's not going to get both because you get one punishment per crime. Okay? He says, Kipli, when are they arguing? The Asru Bei Malkus, when they warned him, instead of warning him that he's going to get killed, they warned him that he's going to get Malkus. So now, death he can't get because he wasn't warned that he's going to get killed. The question is, can you whip him? So Rabbi Shmuel Savad, Rabbi Shmuel says, Lav shenitin lazoris mises bezdin. a lav that technically carries capital punishment, you can get malchus for. Because you were supposed to get death. If you're not going to get death because the guy made a mistake in the warning, at least get malchus. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Rabbi Kiva holds no. Lav shenitin lazarus mises bezdin. You can't get malchus for something the Torah says you have to get killed for. And killed you can't get because you weren't warned. So Rabbi Kiva says the guy's off the hook. And Rabbi Kiva says very simple. Rabbi Kiva says very simple. What's the punishment for this crime? Death. Right? Death you can't get because they never warned you for death. So you finished. You're lucky. It's just, if the guy didn't warn you, you also wouldn't get killed. You can only get killed by Beis Din if you're warned. So if a guy desecrates Shabbos and wasn't warned, he's lucky. He wasn't warned. Well, no, two people. Kosher witnesses. Right before the act, you got to do it right. You can do it 5 minutes before the act, the guy forgot. Short, when you get older, you know what I'm talking about. Short-term memory loss is called. When you reach my age, you know, you get short, it's called short-term memory loss. 22, by the way. One second. So, by the way, if you desecrate Shabbos, bemazed, and you're not warned, you get kares. So God kills you anyway. That's a separate issue. But you can't get punished by Beis Din if you weren't warned. So, what happens if a guy gets away with, literally, not figuratively, if a guy gets away with murder and he wasn't warned? He doesn't get killed, bottom line. So the Bekiva says, if they came over to the guy before he was about to murder somebody, and they said, don't murder him, if you murder him, you're going to get whipped. So Bishmol says, listen, no death, at least get whipped. The Bekiva says, what do you mean get whipped? You can't get whipped, it's not the punishment for the crime. What's the punishment for the crime? Death. Death you can't get because you weren't warned. So you can't get it, finished. But Rava learns, the way Rava is learning, that you're right, that this that we were discussing before, that if you get capital punishment, do you get malchus? Rabbi Shmuel says yes, Rabbi Kiva said no, it's not true. Everybody, even Rabbi Shmuel would agree, you can't get killed and malchus. Not everybody agrees, according to Rava now. Why? Because you can't get two punishments for the same crime. Here, we're talking about a case where you can't get Misa because you weren't warned for it. So the shaila is, can you at least get Malchus? So Rabbi Shmuel holds he can get Malchus. Rabbi Kiva says he can't get Malchus. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva, if so, Ihochi chai v'krisis nami. If somebody did an aveda that gets Kodis, lav shenita nasardis Kodis. But then, the guy was supposed to be warned that he's going to get Kodis. And he was only warned that he's going to get whipped. So how can he get Malchus? And now the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva holds though, that if you were warned, instead of Kodis, you were warned for punishment, for Malchus, you would get Malchus. Because only by Beis Din killing you, you wouldn't get it. But Rabbi Kiva said, that if you're supposed to get Kodis, and you weren't warned for Kodis, you were warned for Malchus, for lashes, you're going to get lashes. So the Gemara asks, why? He wasn't warned, and the punishment is not Malchus, the punishment is Kares. So why should he get Malchus in that case? So he says, so he answers very simply. I'm going to explain this outside. When God kills you, you don't need to be warned. Yeah, smart as the Gemara. Meaning as follows. We learned before, why does the guy have to be warned? Why do you need Hasra? Why does the guy have to be warned before he does a crime? Because otherwise, how do you know if he did it accidentally or intentionally? Maybe the guy didn't know you're not allowed to. Right? So what's the purpose of Hasra? As the Gemara uses the expression, Lahavchim ben Shegig Lameizid, to know if he did it intentionally or he did it accidentally. When Hashem kills you, what do you think? Hashem doesn't know how you did it. If you did it accidentally, Hashem's not going to kill you. If you did it intentionally, Hashem's going to kill you. So Rabbi Kiva says you don't need Hasra there at all. In other words, when Beis Din kills you, you need Hasra. So then Rabbi Kiva says, if they warned you instead of that you're going to get killed, they warned you that you're going to get Malchus. So Rabbi Kiva says you can't get neither. You can't get death because they didn't warn you for death. You can't get Malchus because that's not the punishment. So the Gemara says, but if they warn you about Karis that you're going to get whipped, so Rabbi Kiva says, for Karis you don't need to be warned. There's no warning necessary for Karis. Because the whole reason why you have warning is to know if the guy knew that you're not allowed to do it or not. By Karis, when Hashem kills you, Hashem knows. So what do you don't need it? So then the Gemara says, and the Gemara proves that Karis doesn't need warning. Where? So the Gemara says, Sherei Pesach Omila, and this is what we mentioned at the beginning. There's two positive mitzvahs you get Karis for. Normally, like we learned before, there is no punishment for not keeping positive mitzvahs. Except Pesach and Mila, no bris, and you don't bring a carbon Pesach. The punishment is Karis. And over there, Anish, the Torah punishes you, Afal Pishalei Hizeh, even though the Torah never warned you. Because the Torah never warns you that if you don't do it, you're going to get punished. Meaning, no, the Torah says you have to do the mitzvah, and if not, you get kodesh. But the Torah never warns you. It just says a statement. You don't do it, you're going to get kodesh. And in order to get it, you actually need hazhara, has to be done in a way of a prohibition. There's a rule in halacha, in the Gemara, many places. Ein einshin, elim kein mazirim. You can't punish a person unless if you warn him. The Torah has to tell you, don't do it, and then you could get punished. If the Torah doesn't say, don't do it, how in the world can you get punished?
It has to be a
warning of a negative commandment. Now, if there's no negative commandment, how could the Torah warn you? I mean, how could the Torah punish you? If somebody comes and does something wrong, yeah, a kid comes and does something wrong, he's never told you're not allowed to do it. He's never told you're not allowed to do it. And he does it. Yeah? How can you punish him? He never knew you're not allowed to do it. The Torah is logical. I mean, the Torah makes sense. The Torah doesn't say, okay, you did it. I never told you you're not allowed to do it. I'm going to beat you up anyway. How could the Torah do that? So by Pesach and Mila, the Torah never gave you a prohibition that if you don't, the Torah says, keep the mitzvah, and the punishment is kodesh. Did the Torah warn you that if you don't keep the mitzvah, it's kodesh? The Torah doesn't warn you. The Torah has to be clear in the warning. So what do you see from there? Rabbi Kiva proves that Pesach and Mila, which are punishable by kodesh, don't need to be warned. And the logic, like we said, is very simple. Because warning is to differentiate if you knew that it was not allowed or you didn't know. Once you warned, you can't say didn't know. And that's, by the way, like we said before, warning has to be immediately prior to the crime. If it takes 2 minutes between the warning and the crime, the guy can't get punished. Because there's an assumption he forgot it already. You don't get Malchus. That's how the Rebbe explained, it's later, but I have 2 minutes left. The Rebbe somebody once asked the question, mentioned this many times. You know, Torah is supposed to be a kind Torah, a just Torah. Torah is chesed al hasheni, we're saying eishes chayot, Torah is kindness. So they asked, what type of kindness? A guy eats an ounce of pig, you give him 39 lashes. The guy in Singapore got a few lashes, the whole world was making a commotion about a few lashes. A guy eats an ounce, a quarter pounder is 4 ounces. A cheeseburger, it's good. A quarter pounder, you can imagine, is 4 ounces. A guy eats a quarter pounder. Yeah? Mamish, 1 ounce of chazer, he gets whipped. 39 lashes, it hurt. I mean, you need doctor evaluation. So the question is, that's called a kind Torah. That's called Torah's chesed. How do you, Shlomo Melech says Torah's chesed, and then you eat an ounce of chazer, you give him 39 lashes. So the Rebbe explained it, phenomenal. The Rebbe explained, number one, in order for the guy to get Malchus, he had to be warned. Plus, he had to be warned within seconds, literally seconds, of the time he did the crime. That's introduction number one. Then the Rebbe said, based on the Rambam, that the whole world is an equally balanced scale, and when you do an action of good, you weigh the whole world to good. You do an action to bad, you weigh the whole world to bad. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva. I mean, it's too late to elaborate on this now, but that's what the Rambam says. So the Rebbe said, can you imagine a guy wants to eat a piece of meat, and two witnesses come to him right before he wants to do it, right before the crime. And he says to him, the guy witnesses say to him, when you eat this ounce of pig, you're going to schlep the whole world down into evil. You're going to schlep the whole world down into evil. And the guy has the chutzpah to go eat it anyway. He doesn't care about the whole world. He deserves to die. When the Torah says you get lashes, the Torah is very generous. Okay.